We have here a piece in the Sefer Cheshbon HaNefesh. Cheshbon HaNefesh was written, not exactly sure. They say Rav Zundel already had the Cheshbon HaNefesh, which means it was sometimes usually probably in the 1700s. It's a Sefer which was supposedly the main Musar Sefer in Kelm. It's a Sefer which gives practical suggestions how to work on oneself. You know, there's a practical etzes, how to work on improving oneself. I picked this piece because, in general, the piece itself, even without any shmooze at all, is an extremely yisaitistic piece. And it's, I think, important, especially at this time of year, to read this piece, just for the chizik it gives us. And there is, I believe, a very beautiful shmooze on it. But the piece itself, without the shmooze, is extremely important. So let's first read the piece, and then we'll see if there's also a shmooze. He says as follows. Kidei la'ovin, I want to read it because the piece itself is so important. Kidei la'ovin davar zeh al-borei, in order to understand this property, tzorech lisbein et chila, you have to realize. Shekol hargosha kala shebekalas. Every single hargosha is a feeling. Kawas shebekawas means the small of the small. Shemishtakach min alev afidabo serega atzma. It's so small that you have a thought, a feeling, and a second later you forgot that you even felt that way. Right? You walked by, you saw an ani, and for a split second you had a kvetch. Oh, what a shame. Maybe I should give him some stalker. Then you get, you keep on walking, and in a minute later, you're completely forgot that you even had such a thought. That feeling is not lost. Eda la'oidam. La'oidam means forever. Mishtayer acharecha rishima. It leaves a mark. Ketana. Bekoyach hazikaron. In the memory. No, that's chiddush number one. Chiddush number one is that any thought, feeling, it says feeling, that a person has leaves a roshem, leaves a mark that will be there then in your brain, that after Meyav Ha'esrim, if they would open up your brain, that feeling would still be there, registered. Chiddush two. U'kishemizchadesh es hargosh esos b'nefesh pam shenis. When this same type of feeling is felt a second time, Oz Mr. Reves Harishima Yeshana Ima Mosifa Leva Mashu. It when you have the same feeling again, then they join together. It's not like this one is put away in one file, and then a month later you have another thought, so it's put away in a different file, so they never meet and they never join, but rather they join. And therefore, if they join, they become stronger. Because I had a fleeting thought, and now I have two fleeting thoughts, and the two fleeting thoughts join together. Every time it comes out, all the previous, so Kidrishimas Hakoimis. Okay. Now we understand the power of habit, but it doesn't mean habit, physical habit, habits of thought. How it strengthens feelings. That you can have a small feeling, you learn Musar, and you think, I don't really get excited about Musar. I barely get into it. Musar bespaitis, okay, in the previous generations, I got really excited, but I read it, and it barely. If you would be taking my, if you had my blood pressure, you had a lie detector test to test my, you see it barely makes a rush on me, barely excites me. But if you read it over again and over again and over again, every day, the minuscule hargosha feeling adds with the hargosha of the next day, and then they add up. The heichu moided, and that's how it creates a taiva munumedes, a very strong force which through Hergo it becomes very powerful. He saw Taivis too. Okay, skip the next paragraph just to make life easier. Okay. To explain it more, that they join forces and become stronger. Even less. Beforehand, we said it can be the most slightest thought that you forget in a second. But even less than that. Now, I don't know what could be less than that, but even less than that. And afido called mus hargasha. Even you. The external figure of a hargasha. It's like not even a feeling. It's just the chitzonius of a feeling. V'sir b'nafshi, and some kind of picture. Ma'ashirin achreim rishimis. You know, if you see an advertisement, you don't even have any feeling. You just saw a picture, right? That's what I assume it means, something like that. And it didn't even affect you. It didn't even inspire you. There's no hargasha, but you saw it leaves a mark. So if you see an advertisement and you see it again and again and again, it builds up. Shem is starving, v'hochim moem tomid, amayin wasel kokach. It joins. Ad sheyosan imos was garama de ruchas koshas kanam. Until it can come a very powerful force. V'hu adin nami b'koychos. Okay, now here comes the part that's just, we have our shmooz. V'hu adin nami b'koychos kitanos habateles v'gabi g'doydes shekinegden. You can have a weak force, which is ubato, means it's almost non-existent, against a stronger force. Sha'av opishen nevato, so even though it's bato, because it loses in the battle, it's nothing. Mikomagom rishimo seyem einem betetas. Their mark is not lost. Ve'em chayrim v'ni'urim b'chopam. Every time you have the same battle, they join forces. Umosifim achas achas, and they join forces at the Yukon Arishan Shmenishah, the first force. The Fikoch, therefore, Yechonim Koiches Kitanis and Mikitanis, the small with forces, Ligo Ma'id, they can become very strong, are they Hergo Aruch, through a great deal of time. It's Chazek, to become stronger, and Atseach, to beat Hagedoidish Mikdayas, to beat the greatest forces. Shue Mitatim, Mimashu, Kinectim, Etchilo. For example, koach v'ris haratzon, a person has a desire, a drive, hakdanimo, which is very small, ligabi koach ruach ha'taiva koshin, but it's not strong, it's comparative to the taiva, it's nothing, it's weak. V'nitches, and the taiva beats it out, v'neim neshav, temporarily. V'fishi v'teta connected masha, because it's so small. Omnem zem yechesed ha'bore yisbar, this is Hashem's chesed, that little bit not poto, and a mishayir achra v'shimas tomid, it leaves a mark. For v'shimas mishtarves v'holchas canal, but they join. Behoven shesoyf sov asidehi koyach agvuri ritrotzon leidach nizkaber b'roviyem ayoser koshes kotayves. That eventually this small force will win over the big daiva. Okay. Anyway, I read it maybe a little too fast. I apologize. Basically, this is a very important piece for not giving up, right? Because he's basically saying that a person can have a very small hargasha, very small desire, and it is not strong enough to do anything. It's not even strong enough to last in your brain a minute. It goes in and out. You hear a shmooze, you read a Musa Sefer, it's in 1 minute. A minute later, I ask you, what did the person say? I don't know, I don't remember. Go on. But yet, if you're consistent, you have to have patience. He says, I'd ask, ain't a dover toy about smother ritsufa. A person has to be able to be day after day. If you're consistent, then they will join forces to a tremendously strong force. So a person feels, I don't have one of the big prodding people. I can't. I don't have the motivation, the drive to overcome this tremendously hard nisayan. So his answer is, you don't have to have such a strong drive, because they add. You just have to have a little, and you give yourself a little today and a little tomorrow, a little the next day, and they'll build up, and eventually you'll have a very strong motivation. Okay. So what he says, superficially, Very beautiful. Makes a lot of sense. It's a chiddush because we would have thought that a little teeny hargosha is forgotten, and therefore once it's forgotten, it's lost. And we would also not have known that two forces join together. So it's a very big chiddush. But it makes sense. It's like the example we give usually is you say you have a walled-in city. The Romans come with their battering ram, and they take the battering ram and they smash against the wall, and nothing happens. But what do? You smash a second time. You smash a third time. You smash a fourth time. Eventually, the wall crumbles because pshat is every time you do it, even though there's no noticeable accomplishment, but there's some effect. And you do it a second time, the effects add up. So they build up, they build on each other. The fifth time you smash with the battering ram against the wall, you get the advantages of all the first four times. So when at the 25th time the wall crumbles, it's not crumbling just from the 25th time you smashed into it with the battering ram. It's because the first time already started to crumble. The second time made it to crumble more. It wasn't noticeable to the human eye that it was crumbling because it was just such a fine, delicate, minute crumbling internally. But it has a roshim. It has an effect. Therefore, you keep on doing it. It adds up, and you eventually succeed. That's what he's saying. The question I had as a shmooze is that his example at the end, when you're using a battering ram against a wall, I understand what he's saying very nicely. When you're learning Musar every day, I understand what he says very nicely. Every day you learn Musar, every day you get a little bit of inspiration. After Musar Seder, you forget it. After the shmooze, you forget it. But it leaves a mark. It'll stay there for the rest of your life, and therefore it can keep on adding and growing. But the example he gives at the end is that you're fighting a taiva and you lose. Not that you're learning Musar Seder and then you just forget what you learned. You're fighting a taiva and you lose. So in that case, pashtus, he doesn't make sense. Because look what happens. I have a desire. I have a taiva, whatever taiva it is. Right? I have a taiva to look at things that aren't proper. Okay. Now, I have a rutzen. I shouldn't look. Right? I have a desire not to look. That desire is not strong enough to overcome because I have a counter desire to look. And the desire to look is stronger than the desire not to look. So therefore, the desire to look wins. And I look. So he says, but don't get depressed because you had the desire not to look. So next time it comes up, and again you have the desire not to look, your desire not to look will be stronger. I say, why? Because it's going to join forces with your previous desire not to look. Yeah. Well, but just like it's going to join forces with my previous desire not to look, the next time I'm also going to have a desire to look, which is going to join forces with my previous desire to look. So you'll never win because you'll forget. You'll be worse off, not better off, because the second battle, the stronger desire obviously leaves a stronger roshem. So in the first battle, you had two conflicting desires. A desire to look and a desire not to look. Each desire leaves a mark on your neshama. But the desire that's the stronger the desire leaves a stronger mark. So the desire to look left a mark 10 units and desire not to look left a mark of 1 unit. Now the second time, so the desire not to look will be another one, so I'll have 2. But it'll be finding 20. So I'm worse off, not better off. He seems to say that the desire to look stays stationary, stays at 10, and every time you have the battle not to look, it goes from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 to 6. So eventually, when you get to the 10th time, you're 10 against 10, and then you go ahead to the 11th time, it'll be 11 against 10, and you win. It doesn't make sense. Why should a desire to look remain stationary and the desire not to look keep on building up? The same svara, The exact same logic that he says that feelings leave an effect on the brain and they don't go away and they add with the previous feelings and they get bigger. So just like the positive feelings add, the negative feelings add. So if anything, I would say Pumfakert. You're getting worse, not better. If you're not looking, if you're sitting in Musar Seder and you're learning a Musar Sefer about not looking, and there's no, so then, yeah, then I hear it. The first time you learn Musar Seder not to learn, you have one unit desire. Second time, you have two units. You learn 10 days in a row, you have 10 units desire. Then if you meet the Nisayan, maybe you'll win. That I hear. But that's not his example. His example is, when he says clearly in Tesvah, in Nunvav, that it's a kayak vures eratzen, v'ktana ma'oy legabi ruach ha-taiva ha-koshes. V'nitchus mi-manesha, you lose to the taiva. But it's not batel, and therefore eventually you'll win. Why should eventually you win? So I think there's a very big yisayit, besides the yisayit that he's saying here, a big yisayit. His word is that desires add. Enochinami, a person is someone who goes and says, I want to look at preetzes. Oh, I love looking at preetzes, so much fun. Then you're right. Then what we said is true. Then he doesn't, then just his yetzer hara will get bigger and bigger. His ratzon will get bigger and bigger, and he'll never win it. But when he's talking about a person who he's talking to someone who's working on himself, just he has a strong taiva. When a person who, say like a person in yeshiva, who has a strong taiva, even if he loses and he can't control himself and he doesn't, it's not pshat that he wants to do the aveira. It's not pshat. Half of me says I don't want to look, and half of me says I want to look. No, it's not pshat. Everything in me says I don't want to look. Except I have a taiva. A taiva is a different plateau, a different force. And I can't fight a taiva. I can't, it's like a pull. Someone's a magnetic pull. I can't fight, I'm not strong enough to fight the pull, but it's not a desire that I want to do it. It's that I can't, almost like I feel like I can't help myself from doing it. But it's not that I have two opposite desires. No, I have one desire and one taiva. It's a difference. The taiva is a type of force that when a person isn't so strong, person sometimes doesn't have self-control. So he's almost. Rav Scheinberg once screamed at me because I used the words that a person has no control. He said it's not shayach. But it's almost like a person has no control because the taiva pulls him. But it's not a desire. It's not a rutzen. Therefore, it's a metzias. It's like a machine that's pulling you in a certain direction. So when his logic that ritzonis add is only by rutzens, not by taivas, there's such a thing as that the more you indulge in a taiva, the taiva gets stronger. That's a different concept. That he's not talking about. That's a whole different concept. Even if you had no ratzon, even if the person forced you into indulging in a taiva, the taiva gets a little bit stronger. But we're talking about a ratzon. When a person has a ratzon, every time he has a desire, a drive, something I want, leaves a mark on the brain. And therefore, if you want it more than once, it gets stronger. So it's saying, taivas are not, I don't want, if I cared, what I really want is not to be over in the taiva. I don't want to be nichsho in that taiva. I'm upset with myself that I'm nichsho in the taiva. I just do it anyway. So therefore, the logic is, the taivas is a force. The force doesn't grow. Even in from this perspective, it might grow a different way, but that apparently is outweighed by the other four way of growing. So the fourth of the taiva doesn't grow, the fact that you keep on doing it, because it's not a ratzon, while the fourth of the ratzon, that I don't want to do it, keeps on growing, and memeida, eventually you can beat it. What's a very important Musar Haskell is a few things. First of all, just what he says is tremendous, Musar Haskell, because people get down and people give up hope. And they say, I tried so many times and it didn't go, so what's the point to keep on trying? I tried 100 times, I didn't succeed. So what, the 101 time is going to succeed? What are the likelihood that I'll succeed in the 101 time if I didn't succeed in the 100th? That's, according to him, that's a totally crumb statement. Because if you're doing the exact same thing, the 101 time is 100, so then you're right. The probability is if 100 times you tried and you didn't go, you know, if you're shooting darts and 100 times you miss, and now you're shooting darts again, so you probably also miss. That's the odds. That's true. Because the odds are there's nothing different about the 101 times you're shooting and the previous 100 times. So you see the probabilities. If you see that the odds are that when you shoot, you keep on missing, you'll probably miss again. But he's saying that the 101 time is totally different than the 100th first time. Because 101 times has more power. So the fact that you didn't succeed in the 100 times has no indication whatsoever that you're not going to succeed at the 101 time. Eventually, you're going to hit that cutoff point that you'll succeed. Now, of course, you don't know when that point is. Maybe it'd be 101, maybe 105, maybe 110. But it's no raya, right? If you're shooting darts and you miss the first 100 times, I'm ready to bet you keep on shooting darts for another 100 years and you'll keep on missing. Because you see that you miss. Every shot is the same thing. But here, except for the lucky shot, okay. You know, but here, shot is, it's every new time is completely different because now I have much more odds to succeed than previously. So all the fact that I failed is irrelevant. It's totally irrelevant. The Maisa, I have stronger strength today than I ever had before. So I have more chances today to succeed than yesterday. So what am I getting? No, I definitely won't succeed because I didn't succeed yesterday. That's irrelevant. So it's a tremendous chizik, what he's saying. The knowledge that a person never to give up because you're always getting, if you keep on trying, you're always getting stronger and there's always a chance, more likely to succeed. I mean, that's really the Beferish of Chesh Ben Ever. That's not me. It's such a tremendous, that's why I wanted to do it before, you know, Kippur. It's such a tremendous inspiration because many people, they give up, Chas V'Shalom, and you have to learn never to give up. I think what I said also has a tremendous shmooze because one of the yesaidis that the Reshiva used to always push is one of the ways to inspire us to do what's right is to realize that the only way we'll ever be happy is if we do what's right. And the person has a tremendous drive to be happy. So if you realize that doing things that aren't right are not going to make you happy, and the only way you're going to be happy is with doing things that you are taught are right, then that itself becomes an added motivation which helps you to succeed in overcoming the Yetzer Hara. So based on what we're saying, it makes sense that that's true, because if you learn, but like before the shmooze, that taiviz is a desire. I have a desire to look and a desire not to look. So what do you mean the taiviz won't make me happy? Of course it'll make me happy. I'm doing what I desire. Right? I have two desires. I have a desire, one, not to do what's right, and a desire to do what's wrong. And the desire to do what's wrong is stronger than my desire to do what's right. So of course if I give in to my stronger desire, I'll be happier because that's my stronger desire. But we're learning the Chesh Ben Nefesh that it's two tracks. Your Ratzin is only not to look. It's a Taiva to look, but it's not your Ratzin. So giving in to Taivas will not make you happy because you're going against your Ratzin. A person who does things that's not his Ratzin cannot be happy. I gave in because I had such a strong force, but it wasn't here. It was like a guy twisting your arm to say uncle, and you say uncle. You're not happy because you said uncle. You were forced into it. So when a person does a taiva because the taiva is so strong that he's forced into it, it's not going to bring to happiness. Fakir, it brings him to unhappiness. So it's based on understanding that this is how it works. That the taiva is, it's not really my desire. It's an external force which forces me to go against my desires. So then you hear better that tithes will not bring a person to happiness. Memeda, we have an extra motivation, an extra drive to do what's right, because the realization that only doing what's right can make us happy. Okay, that's the end of the shmooze. Okay. Now I just want to make a ha'ara, not no get to the shmooze. When we were in Eretz Yisrael, I mentioned this to some people, you know, Baruch Hashem, I think it was a very successful trip, not from besides everything else, I'm talking about from a Ruchnius point of view. I thought it was very successful, Baruch Hashem. And what I thought one of the highlights of the inspiration was, you know, I'm saying not the only one, but one of them was when we went to the Rav Gamliel, and he went ahead, and after he spoke very warm to the fellows, and he went, Rav Gamliel was the yeshiva, we mentioned, of the yeshiva Shar Shamayim, one of the yeshivas. He's a very famous Mekubo, big Talmud Chacham, wrote many, many Svarim, a very famous person, Eretz Yisrael, Rav Gamliel Rabinowitz. So at the end, he gave out a piece of paper to have it for the guys to make kabbalas. And those who were there, remember, each person wrote a kabbalah. He gave it to him. He read each kabbalah, gave everyone a kiss. He told the guys that he's going to take these kabbalahs with him. He goes all year to the different mikomis like Kedoshim, and he goes to Sfas and to Meron, wherever else he goes, I don't know. And he says he takes all the kabbalahs with him, and he davens for everybody, whoever gave a kabbalah. He davens for them at the mikomis like Kedoshim. And I remember him saying, it's a good deal. Right? I remember him saying that. I'm giving you guys a good deal. You make a kabbalah, I'll daven for you in Sfas and Meron. It's kedai. So I called, I don't have his number, even though sure I couldn't get it enough. Called his son and left a few messages if we could do it again before the Yom Nerahim to make kabbalahs again and send it to him. We have his permission. So he just, right, b'mamish, I reached him today, and he called about 5 minutes before the shmooze, which is why I was a little late. That to say that Rav Gamliel said yes, very much so, he wants the guys to do this, except on one condition, that they do not make hard kabbalahs. He says it should be easy kabbalahs, yeah, which I guess he's a smart man, knows that that's what's on the works. And he says, and he gave a bracha, already that b'schus of these, that everyone should be zeicha, he's giving a bracha, already that they should be zeicha to a gmar chasima taiva, and everyone should make kabbalah. So I happen to have taken with me, maza would be a copy of his kabbalah sheet. It was filled out, but someone erased it. So anyway, so we have here the sheets of the kabbalahs. So you're going to leave it on the bima, and people should write in there, you fill it in. You see the name, the kabbalah, and their name. And put it in the envelope. Please do not read the envelope of other people's kabbalahs. That would be very unnice. So we're trusting the guys to be, you know, not to look at what other people wrote. And then I'll take it later today, and we'll send it by email to Eretz Yisrael.